Anya loved the room at the Iron Skillet Bed and Breakfast. She had a lovely view through two large windows. The furniture was made of solid oak that had to be at least as old as the building. The bed was a four-poster canopy. Black-and-white photographs that dated from the 1860s to the 1920s decorated the flocked wallpaper. She lifted her backpack to the bed and brought out her notebook computer and digital camera. After making sure neither was damaged, she plugged the computer into the wall outlet and brought it online. Taking a white towel from the bathroom, Anya dumped the contents of the leather pouch she'd recovered from the grave onto it. Dirt cascaded from the pouch, mixing with the coins and the belt plaque. A quick examination of the coins revealed that they were a hodgepodge of American and Chinese. Three of them were gold, small pieces that would bring a few hundred dollars or more from a generous collector. The belt plaque, on the other hand, was particularly striking. Its front showed a great cat, perhaps a Bengal tiger, lashing out with one clawed paw. The piece had a dulled turquoise finish that might have been mistaken for jade, but the tiger's image was lifted out of the material through gold and black glaze that gave the image a sharp, three-dimensional appearance. Turning the belt plaque over, she discovered Chinese characters scrolled across the back. She wiped the belt plaque clean and put it on another white towel from the bathroom. Picking up her digital camera, she took several shots of the belt plaque from all sides and angles. When she was satisfied, she hooked the camera up to the computer and uploaded the images. Once they transferred, she logged onto her favorite Usenet group and posted a message.
I'm currently in California researching a piece for a magazine. I was in the field near Volcanoville, an old ghost town, when I found a strange belt plaque. I have inserted a picture of it below. The article I'm writing primarily deals with Chinese immigration into the gold mining camps. There are a number of pieces in the area that owners claim are from the Chinese men and women who flooded into the area. I just want to verify that this is Chinese, and maybe find out if it has any kind of history. I think it's fairly unique. I've seen pieces like it, but never this exact presentation. Thanks.
Anya inserted a photo of the belt plaque's front, but after brief consideration, she elected not to show the rear. Until she had it translated by someone she trusted, she didn't want whatever it said to be public. Anya closed the computer and lay back on the bed. She was asleep before she knew it. Anya had checked with Verna, the owner of the bed and breakfast, to see if there were any Chinese speakers in Georgetown. She knew that they might be able to help her discern some of the engravings on the belt plaque. Luckily, Harry Kim lived only a few minutes away. Before heading for his shop, she stowed the belt plaque in the B&B's safe. Mr. Kim was the proprietor of Far East Antiques, a curiosity shop that also had an extensive selection of used books. While his daughter managed the texts, he spent his days cataloging and admiring the vast collection of knickknacks that cluttered the floors and shelves. As she entered the store, Anya could tell immediately that she liked Kim. He had mild ways about him and was knowledgeable. In his early 60s, he was balding, and the rest of his hair had turned iron gray and was neatly clipped. His eyes were tiny and crinkled easily when he smiled, which was often. He wore gray slacks and a navy sweater vest over a light blue shirt. His name tag read, Harry Kim, Proprietor.
Mr. Kim, Verna at the Iron Skillet Bed and Breakfast said you might be able to help me.
What can I do for you, Miss Creed?
You know my name. I guess you've seen the news stories about the incident in Volcanoville.
I have, but I knew you from your television show before that. My daughter is a big fan of yours. If it's not too much of an imposition, I'd like you to meet her.
I'd be happy to, but you're sure she's not a fan of Christy Chatham?
Her son is. He's 15 and is very impressionable. My daughter got her degree in history. She says your research is much better.
Well, then I'll have to meet her. In the meantime, I've got a favor to ask, if I may.
Of course.
Anya removed an 8x10 picture of the belt plaque from her backpack. She'd blown up the picture and printed it on photograph paper on the portable printer she'd brought with her.
I'm trying to identify this.
This looks familiar. The artwork is Scythian.
I thought so, too. But I also thought the work might possibly be Chinese.
Why?
I took it from a Chinese man.
Up in Volcanoville?
Anya decided to be as honest as she could. She nodded in answer to the old man's question.
The man you were with, the one who killed those young men, he was the one who wanted this belt plaque?
Yes.
But you still have it?
I have left it somewhere safe for now.
Kim studied the photograph intently for a moment. Then he looked straight at Anya, a grave look hanging over his wrinkled face.
I know this item. This is a very dangerous thing to possess, Miss Creed. This belt plaque carries a terrible curse.
Curse?
Yes. According to legend, that belt plaque is cursed with bad luck. I covered this particular piece in a book I wrote on local legend and lore. Follow me, please.
Harry Kim stepped from behind the counter and walked to the door that led to the adjoining used bookstore. Anya trailed behind the man. The bookshop was small and neat. Shelves filled the walls and stood upright in the center of the floor. The woman at the counter was in her 30s and looked a lot like her father. She was small-boned, her black hair tied back. Her black skirt and white blouse gave her a professional appearance, but she looked relaxed, more like she was entertaining than selling.
Miss Creed, I'd like to introduce my daughter, Michelle. Michelle, Miss Anya Creed.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
I'm a big fan of your television show, Miss Creed.
Please, call me Anya.
Anya. Father, if I'd known Miss Creed was coming, I could have ordered rolls and coffee.
Your father didn't know I was coming. I surprised him.
I see. Is there anything we can do for you?
We need one of my books.
Don't tell me my father is punishing you with one of his books. He's shameless.
My daughter went to the University of Southern California to study fine art. And even with her degree, she doesn't appreciate talent as much as she should.
That's your opinion.